Okay, good morning, Chodesh Tov to everybody. We are officially in the final month of the year. I kept saying the whole day yesterday, it's Elul. So we should be benching the Chodesh Tov and a Chodesh of Koach to do the voda we need to do. We are learning the Lulu Nishmaso, Nazech Nishmaso, Tzvi Gershon, Al Basham Ben Yoav Echanes, Nisham Shavan Aliyah, the Merit of Al Torah, also with your permission. Zchus Bracha Vigai Basracha Gita, Shavu Fushim, Psoch Shar Chale Yisrael. So let's begin with the Tfil Al Hadibur, please. Ribbono Sha'olam, Hiratzum Fanecha, Rachum Vachanim, Shatazekini, Hayim, Vachal Yam, Lishmar Pi, Lishani, Milashin Har, Rechilis, Vazahir, Milidaber, Afilu al Ishiachid, Vakal Shakin al Kaisal, O al Chelek Mehem, Vakal Shakin with Hisraim al Midosav Shal Kosh Barachu. As a hermle da ber de vre shaker, Hanufa, Machlokas, Kaas, Gaiva, Anastvarim, Habanas Panim, Leitsanus, Vachal Dibur Asr, Mazakini Shal Vidaber, Kim Dabar Hatsari, Chelina Negufi Vinafshi, Viu Kalmasai with the Barai Lashem Shamayim, Amin. Okay, so we are on page last time. We had a very, very interesting shiur, I think. Ben Torah and Bar Mitzvah versus the concept of Baal Avira. Okay, so we are on page 146, please. Okay, page 146. So we're really up to last time we did Nekudaches, and now we are up to Tess. Okay. Lisbonim benafsho, to pay attention with his soul, v'chal erev Shabbos Kodesh. So he says to do a chashvan nefesh, the Chavetz Chaim says every erev Shabbos Kodesh. Now if you recall, I've said it before, I'm sure the Rav Yitzchak of Berditchev used to do a chashvan nefesh every night. And he would say, so appropriate for Elul, and he would say what was positive tonight in my actions, what was negative today in my actions. And every night he would say, okay, Levi Yitzchak, tomorrow you're going to be better, when he looked at the side of what he failed in. And then the other half of himself said, Levi Yitzchak, you said that last night. And then the other half of himself would say, but tonight I really mean it. He would talk to himself. It's interesting because our Salvechuk says about Tzkiya Shofar, that the shofar blast, such a beautiful piece, that the shofar blast is the call of the pure side of man to the sinful side of man to wake up. It's man calling himself. It's a call of the neshama, the shofar. It's a wordless prayer. It's the call of the neshama. Man's personality, if you will, is split into the Asiyas and Mitzvah side, and unfortunately the Avera side, and that the shofar is calling. It's the call of the pure side of man to the tainted side of man, saying, wake up, you that slumbers, wake up, you that sleeps. So Lisbonim b'nafshe b'chayim Shabbos Kodesh. So if Chavis Chayim says, you're not really Yitzchak or Ditchav, at the very least, then every Erev Shabbos Kodesh, you should have time to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. That's exactly Lisbonim b'nafshe, cheshbon ha-nefesh. Im hisnaheg ba'oso shavua b'dibruv kadin. How was your, if you acted that week, was your speech appropriate according to the law? V'im b'acham b'nafsho, and if you checked, like b'china, if you checked your soul, sheshavua shaleim lo nichsha b'shan, I don't know how what madriga person has to be, that the entire week they were not nichsha, they did not stumble in some manner of forbidden speech, because this class has really broadened her horizons into understanding that forbidden speech is not the narrow category of what we thought it was, I think, when we started this learning years ago. That's just shmiras halashon by lashon hara. So if you manage somehow a whole week not to be nechshel, not to stumble in your speech, meha nachon, she yirshom ze bit pin kaso, you should write it down in a diary. Now, this is very interesting because this is modern. When I say modern, I mean today, the Chavetz Chaim wasn't 500 years ago, it was about 100 years ago or so. But this is also a little more than 100 years ago. This is also modern psyche as well, that you should write things down. What should you write down? You should keep a diary of your Shmir Salashon. How's it going? Shazar lo Hashem bazeh. So you should write down when you stumbled, and you should write down when you were successful, and you'll start to see that the successes outweigh the times that you failed. And you should give gratitude. Shazar lo Hashem bazeh. You should be very happy. Thank you, Hashem, that you helped me. V'yismech b'chalko. And you should express your simcha, your satisfaction and your contentment and your joy and your gladness that you have this portion that you were able to overcome. V'yitein hoda l'Hashem. Look at this. You should have a gratitude journal. It's unbelievable. The Chavetz Chaim is really writing this right here. I'm not making this up. You should be happy with what you have, and you should hoda l'Hashem. You should give thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam al ha'aver for the past. V'yivakish al ha'aba. So your person should not think, I just had the situation in my personal life, something that Baruch Hashem was going very, very well. And then I saw that maybe it wasn't continuing in the path that I wanted. And then I said, you know, you can only You have to keep davening. Just because something seems like it's going well, don't not daven that it should continue to go well, because everything depends on tefillah. If a person stops davening for the future, then chas v'shalom, we don't know what happened. So I thought that this was very, very interesting. So this is a gratitude journal of ruchnis and mitzvos. That's really what the Chavetz Chaim is saying, that you should have, today when they talk about gratitude journals, it's about generally gratitude journal. We give thanks to Hashem for what happened. But I thought that this gratitude journal of ruchnis, so I want to quote some outside sources. So I say this, this is from Mishpacha, from Family First, from July 31st. There's this woman, I don't know if anyone saw it in Family First, who goes through these different, she undertakes like 8 5-minute daily tasks that she's never done before. So one was them keep a gratitude journal, one was them do 5 minutes of exercise a day. There are all different things. Meditate, learn a new language, read a self-help book. So what happens is she spends an X amount of time doing them, and then she reviews what was worth it and what was not worth it. So many of them were not worth it. Meditate, learn a new language, self-help books. Okay. Keep a gratitude journal. Okay. Gratitude is the antidote to foreboding joy, which I thought was very interesting, which I'm way too good at. I never heard that term. You know what that is? Does anyone know foreboding joy? Okay, Brené Brown, my guru, that's what she writes, describes foreboding joy as the experience of peeking in at your sleeping baby, being totally overcome with love for your child, and then thinking something terrible is going to happen. I thought this was a very interesting term, foreboding joy. So you're happy right now, but you're terrified of what might happen in the future. We can't lean into the pure joy and purity of the moment, because we dress for her tragedy to make ourselves feel less vulnerable. Chalila, no one should ever know. The antidote to this is gratitude. Instead of ruminating about car crashes and diseases, take a step back, be grateful to Hashem, acknowledge all He has given you. It sounds cheesy, but science says it works. So interesting, it's Mamash the Chavetz Chaim, it's unbelievable. So for 5 minutes a day, I was going to write a gratitude journal acknowledging the big and little things I am grateful for in life. This was an easy one. I quickly found myself looking around for things to jot down. I made mental notes. It was a nice way of looking at the world. She writes, I am so cynical and jaded and busy with life that noticing the things I love was challenging. I flipped through the stuff I wrote in my gratitude journal. Turns out I love my kids a lot, and that's in italics. And they're cute. They say funny things. They hug me randomly. I love you, mommy. My husband is awesome too. A shout out to Doda Leia, who was mentioned 3 times in 1 week, for the leftovers she sent. I didn't have to make supper. Bless her. I'm grateful for the creativity Hashem has given me. Grateful for the times that aren't as annoying as I expected them to be. Simply grateful for some things that are over. Apparently, she's looking back at a gratitude journal. I'm very grateful for food. It's the new bakery that opened, the chocolate leftover from last week, a succulent batch of gray foods, or even the fact that the kids need all the bananas. I had one for my yogurt. Thank you, Hashem, for making it taste good. Verdict. So she gives a short synopsis of what you're supposed to do in this 5-year experience. The next one is preparing my kids' clothing the night before. Anyway, fine. Verdict. I should continue keeping this journal. It makes me more wholesome and less jaded, which makes for boring writing by the happier person. Not all of them does she say she needs, but science shows that it works, and she says that she should keep this journal. So when I was preparing and when I read that, it reminded me of something that I actually heard of Shai Schechter read in a shiur. He spends 2 weeks, if you listen, then you heard him say this, he spends 2 weeks at the beginning of the summer in Camp Simcha as the camp rabbi. When I was preparing for this year, like 4 weeks ago, I'm constantly like much ahead, okay? Mm-hmm. So I know the Chavetz Chaim says prayer gratitude journal, coupled with science, shows that it is actually very positive and helpful. It reminded me of this letter. Okay, so Rav Schechter said that in camp on Shabbos, this girl got up and she read this letter. And after she read it, he asked her, could I have that? So she said, why do you want it? So he said, I'm a rabbi of a shul, and I want to read this letter. I don't want to tell it in my words. I want to tell it in your words. Good Shabbos, everyone. For those who don't know, my name is Jess Rosenblum. I'm almost 16 years old from Toronto. I'm a science nerd, dancer, athlete, and animal lover. When I was 10 years old, she's almost 16, I began getting headaches. Something I never experienced before. This seemingly small symptom soon turned into a shocking diagnosis, inoperable brain tumor. My life took a 180 degree turn. I went from playgrounds to hospitals in the blink of an eye. I felt like my world came crashing down around me. I wasn't me anymore. I wasn't a dancer. I wasn't an athlete. I was this sick kid. My case was complex due to the location of the tumor. My best treatment option was 70 rounds of chemotherapy. During therapy, I was in the hospital more than I was at home. My days consisted of medicine and sleep. As I'm sure many of you can sadly relate to, she's speaking in Kam Simcha, I felt very isolated. I was too sick to see my friends. I wasn't strong enough in my immune system to go anywhere. This was definitely one of the darkest periods of my life. I was trapped. I felt I could never escape a dark, gloomy tunnel. Shortly after round 9 of chemo, she had to go through 70, I suffered a stroke. I was rushed to the hospital by ambulance. I had an emergency MRI. The chemo wasn't working, it showed. My tumor had grown. The doctors told us my only chance at survival was to operate on what they deemed an inoperable tumor. I wanted to give up. I didn't want surgery. I wanted to be done. I wanted to be healthy. My thinking was all negative. It seemed impossible to see anything good. One day, my mother sat me down and she told me she read an interesting article. It was a scientific study regarding patients undergoing treatment for different diseases and their outlook. The results showed that patients with an optimistic and positive attitude had a faster and better recovery. I was willing to do anything. So my mother and I started doing gratitude journals. Every night, my mom and I would write in our journals. We'd write or share out loud what we were grateful for that day, what we valued about ourselves, our intentions for the next day, and what stood out that day. It took only 5 minutes. It's unbelievable because that's exactly what this author says it should do, 5 minutes. It only took 5 minutes, but made the biggest difference in my life. It helped me realize every day may not be good, but there's something good in every day. I went into surgery about a week after hearing the news that my tumor had grown. I was already booked to stay in inpatient rehab for 6 months after surgery. The surgeons were sure I would not be able to walk or talk after surgery. The surgery was a success. They removed 90% of the tumor. I was transferred to the ICU. I remember waking up and saying hi to my mom. It was a miracle. I could talk. A few days later, I stood up. I could walk. Another miracle. A few days later, I was discharged and sent home, no rehab. I believe my miraculous recovery was due to my change in mindset. I went from sick and negative to miracles. If that doesn't make you believe in the power of positivity, I don't know what will. Fast forward to today, 5 years later. I still have my tumor. It is considered chronic. I will have it for the rest of my life, but I'm not on chemo, and I still do my gratitude journaling almost every night. I'm back at dance. I play sports. I'm training for the Team Lifeline 10K run in November. All I ask for you to take out of this speech is to try gratitude journaling. Write it or say it out loud. What you're grateful for, what you value about yourself, what your intentions for the next day are. What stood out that day? It will change your life. So let me share part of my gratitude journal today. I am grateful for transforming from the 10-year-old who was not expected to walk to the teenager training for a marathon. And what's so interesting is that this is a child who is very wise in her years and has seen more than anyone should ever know. Who should continue to be as healthy as possible. For Arichas Yamim and Shanim. But she says, write your intentions for the next day. And that's actually what the Chofetz Chaim says as well. V'yitein hoda l'Hashem al ha'avar. This is what she says. V'yivakesh al l'haba. So you need to state your intentions for the future. Please help me to continue. I think that this is something that generally when we talk about gratitude journals, we talk about the physical things in our life. We acknowledge it's from Hashem, but we talk about the physical things. Thank you that I ate today. Thank you that I was able to cook today, that I timed for errands today, that I did laundry today, that I sat down with my family at the table today, that I went to Shir today, whatever give thanks for. But generally, I could bow down by modem. That's something to give thanks for. Not everyone could bow down by modem. But here we're talking about in the Ruchnius realm, and sometimes I think this is very important to apply to ourselves because why? I don't know you. That sometimes a person, myself, you could feel a sense of yeush, like despondency or negativity. I'm working for so long on this. in this area of Ruchnius. How could I possibly have just been Nichshol Bilashono again, to paraphrase the Chavetz Chaim? I don't understand. I'm trying for so many years. I'm really trying, Hashem. I did this Bechinas Nefesh. I did this Hisbonidus in my Nefesh, and I found that I was Nichshol, and it wasn't a perfect week. And you could start to give up on yourself and say, you know, it's hopeless. I don't want to live anymore, Chas V'Shalom. I can't do it anymore. But really, the gratitude journal can help you. Yerushim Zeh Bepin Kaso. Write it down. Shazar Lo Hashem. If you focus on the steps that you have been able to accomplish, instead of focusing on the times that I was nichshol and I said what I should not have said, so I should focus on the times that I passed the nisayon, that I did not say what I should not have said, not to write off when I was nichshol. Of course, I have to take stock and I have to try and change for the future, and that's a process of teshuva. But to understand that I am making progress, because if we stay positive, the prognosis in Ruchnia, specifically the prognosis for being able to conquer the Aveira of Lashon Hara and everything it includes will be much more positive. And it also reminded me very much of the first time you really see this idea. You have to be sameach b'chalko, the sons of Chafetz Chaim, that Hashem helped you, and therefore you have to appreciate your portion and you have to give thanks to Hashem. So it reminded me of the first time we see this idea of the opposite of being kofer tov in the Chavesh, and that is, of course, everything is ma'ase avosim on the bottom, and that is in Sefer Bereishis. So we know that after Isha gave Adam the fruit, they both eat the fruit, they're hiding, Hashem's going to find them, they're afraid, they make Ali Te'ena, they cover themselves, okay. Vayomer mihi gidecha ke'erem, so Hashem finds them, kaviyachos, so we can never find them. And who told you that you are naked? Hamina eitz, asher suvi sichel, vilti achami menu chalta. Did you by chance eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? I just remembered something that I didn't think of when I was preparing shir. So Hamin Ha'eitz, I thought I was saying that ties into Shir perfectly. Hamin Ha'eitz, Asher Sivisicha, Velti Acham Menachata. Does anyone know what the Gemara says? It's Chulin 139b, Kof Lamites Amid Beis. So there the Gemara is talking about Mordechai Minator Minayin, Esther Minator Minayin, Haman Minator Minayin. So what does the Gemara quote? This exact pasuk. Hamin Ha'eitz, it can be read as Aman Ha'eitz, Hey Memnon, Hamina Eitz, Asher Sivisicha, Velti Acham Menachata. So why is this, I mean, you're going back to my Sibrachus here, you're in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, why is this a reference to Haman?
Because he had everything.
Oh.
And the only one that didn't bow down was Mordechai.
Okay.
So here they had the entire Gan Eden except for one tree that they couldn't eat from.
Very nice. So Adam had everything except for one thing he couldn't have, and he couldn't get his mind away from that one thing. Haman had everything except for Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachava. That's exactly correct. Another answer is both Adam and Haman were kofer betov. They rejected the good that was done for them, because if you appreciate what, if you only focus on what you don't have instead of what you do have, then you will come to, how do you translate? To reject the good, to not appreciate the good, because what does Adam answer? Vayomer ha'adam ha'isha shenasata imadi hi nasnali min eitz v'achol. Whose fault is it? He wasn't saying it's Isha's fault. Whose fault was he saying? Hashem. Ha'isha. He doesn't say ha'isha nasnali min eitz v'achol. Ha'isha asher nasata imadi. You gave her to me. It's your fault. So Rashi says exactly. Kan kafar betova. How would you translate that into English? A kofar tov. He rejected the good. He denied the good. Is that a better word? He denied the good that the Ribbono Shel Olam did for him. And the Ramban says, V'tam ha'isha she'nasati medi lemar, ha'isha she'ata b'chvodecha nasata osali le'ezer. The woman that you in your honor gave her to me to help me, he nasna li min eid. She gave me from the tree. V'ayisi choshev she'kal asher tomar elai yeli le'ezer u'leho il. I thought, this is the Ramban, I, Adam, thought that everything that she will do, tell me to do is for my good and for my benefit. So Adam's saying to Hashem, I didn't know that she could be connected. I thought she was only the Ezer. Hashem said, you listen to the voice of your wife. You should not have transgressed my mitzvah just because of her advice. And then he quotes also the same Gemara that Rashi quotes, that he was a kofer tov. Atog or Ramtali Hamikshal Zah, the Ramban writes that Adam was saying, you God caused me to stumble. Shinasata li Isha le Ezer. Vahi Atsasani la Harshia. You gave me a woman to help me, and she gave me bad advice. And I was thinking something very interesting. we sometimes mimic Adam HaRishon. Hashem, it's your fault. You shouldn't have given me a tongue. You shouldn't have given me a mouth. You gave me the ability to speak and to think. I'm really not making a joke. So if you had a choice, would you want to chas v'shalom not be able to speak, or would you want to be able to speak? Of course I want to be able to speak. So I can't blame somebody else when I use my koach adibur inappropriately. Hashem gave me bechira chavshis. He created me with everything I need. Adam needed Isha. The fact that she gave him bad advice, my Yetzer Hara also comes around and gives me bad advice. So I can't say, Hashem, you told me I have to keep a gratitude journal. V'yismach v'kechel v'yitin hodal l'Hashem. Instead of being a kofer betova, I need to be a makar tova. That's the opposite. That's exactly what the Chavetz Chaim is saying here. I'm going to skip some of these sources that I wanted to tell you. I'm skipping some of the sources I wanted to tell you. The Baal term is interesting. Want to hear what the Baal term says? Vayomer Adam Ha'isha Nasata. So the Baal term quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, 17:13. Meshiv Ra'a Tachas Tova. He who repays good with bad, meishiv ra tachas tova, lo tamush ra mi beso, bad will not leave from his house. Meishiv ra tachas tova, lo tamush ra mi beso. Okay, he who repays good that's done from with bad, bad won't leave his house. So the Baal term says, sofei tevos ha'isha, the sofei tevos of the words, tova lo tamush ra'a, spell isha. The middle words in that pasuk, the last letter of each word spells Isha. Shahaya kifui tova b'isha shenasan lo le'ezer. He rejected the good, he denied the good of this woman that Hashem gave him to be a helper. And I'm just going to quote the Gemara before we go on. So the Gemara says, Maseches Avodah Zarah, hey, Amud Aleph through Beis, the Rashi and the Ramban are really quoting the Gemara. Moshe said to Bnei Yisrael, we are kifuye tova, b'nei kifuye tova. We're ingrates, the son of ingrates. Moshe said to B'nai, so we're ingrates, the son of ingrates, referring to Adam Rishon. How so? Kifuye tova, how do we know that we were ingrates? Dichtiv, v'nafshenu katza b'lechem hakilo kel. Does anyone remember when they said that? Nafshenu katza, our souls are disgusted with this light bread. Now they translate into English, what are they talking about?
The man,
they were nauseous from the man. B'nei kifui tova. They were the sons of those who rejected the good, who were ingrates. Dichtiv ha'isha shenasati medihi nasnali min eitzvacho. So who did the B'nai Yisrael learn from, so to speak? Adam. Hashem gives us a gift. We abuse the gift, and then we say to Hashem, why did you give me this gift in the first place? If it's so hard to keep my mouth shut, then you shouldn't have given me the power of speech. Maybe that's a good argument. Don't give me the power of speech. I can't keep my mouth closed anyway. That's not what the Chavetz Chaim says you should do. And interestingly, why did they complain about the man? Interesting, Hamin ha'etz, Haman ha'etz, man. That's really actually very, very interesting. Did you hear what I just said? Mihigidecha ki erum ata, Hamina eitz asher suvisicha level teachami menachalta. So Gemara learns out in Chulin, Kof Ametaz, Amabez, that is a reference to Haman. And it's very interesting that the Gemara connects the Kufuyu Tova. This is very cool. This is very interesting. The Gemara here in Avodah Zarah, it's Hey, Amal Av through Beis, connects the Kufuy Tov of Adam in Chul and the Kufuy Tov of Haman and the Kufuy Tov of the Bnei Yisrael vis-a-vis the Man. That's really cool. Wow. So when it comes to the man, we said we're nauseous from this unsubstantial food. Kilo kel from the word kal, like a double lashon of kal. Kilo kel, so kal. It's not only light, it's light. Like, what kind of insubstantial food is this? Dichsiv, how do we know we're the b'nei kufuy tova? Ha'isha shenasati midi hi nasnali min eitzvacho. So yes, it's true, they had everything, and they wanted the one thing they couldn't have. But that results from being ungrateful with what we have in the first place. Adam was ungrateful for Isha. Haman was ungrateful for all of his wealth. And B'nei Yisrael were ungrateful for the man. Why? A miraculous feature, the footnote says, and then we're going to go on, of the manna was that it was a perfect food. It consisted of only that which the body required. It was completely absorbed by the body without leaving behind any waste to be excreted. This is a funny vignette. We just drove home from Toronto yesterday. It's a very long trip. Baruch Hashem, we're safe. So one of the children said, I need to use the bathroom. So we were on Route 17. The ways did not take us on the 3A. We were nowhere there was a bathroom at that time. So we said, there is no bathroom. So the child said, is there anything I could eat that will absorb the number one so that I don't have to go to the bathroom? So another child said, it does not work that way. Actually, the man did work that way. It was completely absorbed by the body. I should show this to this child today. Of course, it was funny because at one point, one of the kids was having a meltdown. So it made us laugh. So in the middle, I said, you know, the Gemara says, and everyone started cracking up. They said, Mommy, I don't think that right now is the time for that. Accordingly, it was completely absorbed by the body without leaving behind any waste to be excreted. The Jews therefore refer to the man as kilokel, which is the cognate to the root for kalite. This feature of the man was of great service. So Hashem was trying to help them, and what did they do? They blamed him for making the man like this. Hashem was trying to help Adam by giving him an Isha, and he blamed Hashem. Oh, sometimes we do the same thing. I'm going to say it's your fault, Hashem, because you shouldn't give me a mouth. How's that going to go over? Not so well. This feature of the man was of great service to the Jews in the wilderness. They were prohibited to use the bathroom, defecate, within the camp. They would be forced to walk as much as 3 parsos, which is equivalent to 8,000 amas. They would have to walk 3, so 24,000 amas, the entire span of the camp, in order to leave the campsites to relieve themselves. So when they exclaimed, their souls are disgusted with this insubstantial bread, they were displaying their ungrateful disposition. So we can't say, I remember in this class when somebody said, sometimes you think, so you can't talk. In a way, unintended, of course. That's sort of doing what Haman did, and what the people did, and what Adam HaRishon did. That's not what Hashem wants us to do. Look how positive. We read 2 sources, one from this young girl who is much wiser in her years than some adults, and myself. She's a very wise girl. So let's read that paragraph again, now that we had those extra sources. L'hisponim b'nafsho b'chalav Shabbos Kodesh. So, l'fachos, maybe the Yitzchak did every night, at least, every hour of Shabbos Kodesh. Im hisnaheg b'ol so shavul b'dibru av kadin. Although, we think if we do once a week, who could remember sometimes on Friday what happened on Monday? Okay, in Bacham ben Afshu, if you did your Bechinas Nefesh, a Shavua Shalem lo Nichshav Beshor, if you mamish had a niece and you were not Nichshav Mehenechon, Sheyershom Zeb Bepin Kaso, you should mamish keep a gratitude journal. That's what he's saying. It's just incredible to see this here. She'azer lo Hashem Bezah, Hashem helped you, so you have to say thank you. Yismech Mechalko, wow. Be grateful and appreciative of your portion. V'yitain Hoda La Hashem. Isn't this incredible? Modern science proves a gratitude journal. Who proved it? 103 years ago, so give thanks for what you have accomplished. And I think we need to add on to here for people on our level. I'm not sure, we're not setting ourselves up for failure, but saying that we're going to go a week without being nichshol is very, very hard. I don't know if I'm on such a level, but the least that we should do is to appreciate, yes, take stock of the times that we failed, resolve to do better in the future, but at the very least, we should be appreciative and focus on when we have conquered the Yetzirah, because that positivity will be the impetus for us to do better. Instead of focusing on my flaws exclusively, focus on my accomplishments, and that will help me in the future. This is very interesting. Don't be so excited when you hear news about other people. Sometimes when you hear things about other people, especially gossip or stories, or did you hear what so-and-so did in the community, it gives you like a rush, like you do. You feel excited. Wow, look what's happening in their family. Look what they did. Could you believe it? Everyone's talking about it. Don't be so excited. Don't have too much feeling. When you hear something outploni, sha'asa davar shelo kirtzono, he did something not according to your will, sha'al yadei hisragshus, because through this feeling of excitement, yetsu davar mepiv shelo nachon la'amra, what will inevitably happen when you get too, I'm going to use the word worked up. Okay, is that a good word for this? When you get too worked up about something, you become too emotionally over the top, words will come from your mouth that are not appropriate to be said. And it is very common, is well found, and what will you see in the end? And you will see by yourself, what does that mean? In the end, the situation is not what you thought in the first place. So sometimes you get so worked up because you think this is a reality. Look what they did. It's not what I told them to do. And in the end, you'll find out that that's not what happened anyway. It wasn't exactly as you thought. Don't get so worked up, because when a person gets worked up, they are inevitably going to make a mistake. So remind me of Moshe Rabbeinu. So I'm not saying this by myself. I wouldn't say such things by myself. But at the end of Bamidbar, Moshe commands Pinchas, Eleazar ben Aaron HaKohen, to go to war against Midian. Why Pinchas? Pretty obvious. Why Pinchas? Pinchas killed Zimri and Cosby. Okay. Parshas Balak, he rose up and he slayed Zimri and Cosby. So let he, who started the battle, go slay the Midianites. Kveid Deber Hashem al Moshe Leimer, it's Perek Lamed Alfim Bamidbar. Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'es HaMidyanim, take vengeance for the B'nei Yisrael from the Midianim. Achar Te'asef Olamecha, after you will die. So one of the last things that Moshe did, this is Parshas Matos, so it's right before Devarim. The last thing he did is what he had to be the general. He didn't go to battle, but who directed the battle against Midian. Okay? So Moshe says to the people, Hey Chalutu Mitchem Anashim Mitzvah, glad for yourselves, arm for yourselves, ready for yourselves, prepare for yourselves, command to go to war against Minyan, Aleph Lamata, and who will be in charge? Pinchas ben Eleazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Okay. They go, they fight against Midian. When they come back from war, they come back with all the kalim, with the spoils of war. And if anybody remembers, Moshe does not know how to kosher those kalim. Eleazar, the Kohen, gives the instructions. By this point, we're in Parshas Matos, Aaron is dying in Chukas. Vayomer Eleazar HaKohen el Anshei HaTzava HaBayim LeMechama. I just want to see something, yeah. Eleazar HaKohen says to those soldiers who came back from war, Zot Chukas HaTorah Sher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. This is the law of the Torah that Hashem commanded Moshe. What should he do with the Zav and the Kesef and the Nechoshes and the Barzal? Okay. So we learn Hilchus Gulei Kelim from here. So if you notice who gave the command, Zos Chukas HaTorah Sher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, it was given by Eleazar. Why not Moshe? Moshe was our teacher. Moshe is Rabbeinu. If there was something to be taught, why didn't Moshe teach it?
He didn't know.
Pardon?
He said he didn't know.
But why?
Why he forgot.
Pardon?
Why? What, you're asking why he
forgot? Why was it concealed from him? Vayiktov Moshe al pekudei achayil. When they come back from war, vayiktov Moshe. What does it mean? Ketzef. Oh, Moshe become angry over the soldiers, and he says, "You left all the women alive. The women are the ones who made us stumble in the first place." Okay. So Rashi is going to give three examples where Moshe becomes angry, and the halacha is hidden from him. Each example is a shir by itself. The point that I'm bringing you this Rashi for is to prove. Not that we need to prove the Chavetz Chaim, but it's interesting to see that everything goes back to the Torah. The Chavetz Chaim says when you get too excited, when you have too much emotion, you're inevitably going to make a mistake. You're going to say something you didn't mean to say. Rashi says this before, about who? Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not something we could say by ourselves. Not something I would say by myself. I'm quoting Rashi. Okay, it's Parak Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chav Aleph. 31:21 in Bamidbar. Yomer Elazar HaKohen. So why did Eleazar give the command? Because what did we see? What happens to Moshe? Moshe becomes angry. Angry is an excess of emotion. It's one of the things that's categorized under Chovas HaShmira. We say it whenever we say the Tefillah Al Hadibur. This class has shown us that yesterday I felt we were leaving Toronto too late, even though it's everywhere Hashem wants you to be, and it was taking long to go, and this needs to be done, that needs to be done. I felt like we're never going to get home. And a few times I felt very stressed inside, and I kept saying to myself, Michal, it's Allah. Michal, it's Allah. It's Elo. When we have an excess of emotion, we make mistakes. That's what the Chaim says. Don't get so excited when you hear some news about something else, because by that extra feeling, Yeitzu Dvar Mipiv Shlo Nachan Amra. And this is what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says Rashi, Vayomer Eleazar HaKohen, Zos Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe, Lefi Shaba Moshe Leklal Kaas, Ba lechlal ta'us. What's ta'us? Ta'ut? He made a mistake. Because he came to the category, the klal ka'as. Ba lechlal ta'us. Made a mistake. She nis'amu mimenu hilchus gi'ulei goyim. The laws of gi'ulei kelim of goyim, purging vessels which have been used for cooking by non-Jews, was hidden from him. Now Rashi gives two other examples. That's number one. V'chein ata motze b'shmini l'milu'im. Parsha shmini, after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, Moshe becomes angry by Yitzhak Moshe al Eleazar v'Yitamar. By the Karbanos, he becomes angry, Shneimar, and it says Moshe became angry at Eleazar and Yitamar. Bala kal kaas, bala kal taos. He made a mistake with regard to the laws of Kohanim in a state of mourning. But why? Because he became angry. And the third time, and this one's really interesting because in Parshas Chukas, Rashi gives a different example. What's Rashi's example and what's Rashi's reason in Chukas that Moshe sinned? Rashi says his sin in Chukas was he hit the rock two times. Different Mepharshim give different interpretations as to the sin, but Rashi says he was told to speak to the rock and he hit the rock. But in Matos, Rashi says something totally different. Rashi says, V'chein, Shimuna Hamorim, listen, O you rebels, V'yachas Asala, he screamed at the people, he hit the rock, Al Yedei HaKa'as Ta'ah. What was his major downfall? Shimuna Hamorim, Mei Meriva, why, says Rashi, Al Yedei HaKa'as Ta'ah. So it's hard to say, but Chazal want to teach us something, that Moshe Rabbeinu, we learn everything from. We even learn this. We even learn this. When a person becomes overly excited, when you hear something about someone, because in the end you will find that it's not what you thought in the first place. In the end, Moshe said to Elazar and Itamar, the Ban of Hanosum, when it comes to eating the karban, he doesn't know what they're doing. He says, what are you doing? In the end, they were right. But what happens when you come to Ka'as? You come to Ta'a. So a person should not be so excited when you hear something about somebody else, because in the end you're going to find it's not even what you thought in the first place. And that excess of emotion will inevitably lead a person to say that which they should not say. And I find this very true. Sometimes when you find someone who's so overly excited, something comes out that should not have come out in the first place. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes.
To say that the excitement of the emotion of anger is the opposite of anava, and that's the quality that Moshe was supposed to be the most humble, not egotistical person. So if you take anger, if you exert anger, it replaces or it takes the place of the quality of being a humble person.
Very nice.
A humble person wouldn't then judge a situation.
Very nice. And wouldn't become angry and then would not make the mistake. And in fact, very nice, the sin Rashi says here, in Bamidbar, Paraklam and Aleph, Chafav, which we just looked at, Rashi says, and Moshe's sin by Mei Meriva was with his words, Shimuna Hamorim, because when he lost the Arniva, so to speak, it's very hard to say these things about Moshe Rabbeinu, but we're not really saying them. The Torah is saying them, Chazal are saying them, and you're saying that because he lost, in a sense, some degree of what his essence of his personality was, it was replaced by the Kas, the sin came out in the words. The anger leads us to saying something. So, if that's Moshe Rabbeinu, what should we say about ourselves? It's very frightening. What should I say about myself? That's a terrifying thought. That's a very scary thought. So the Chafetz Chaim says, don't be so excited. You don't have to stay even keel. Don't be in extremes in your personality. Get so excited. Inevitably, you're going to be nechsho. You're going to end up saying something. And in the end, you're going to find it wasn't even like you thought anyway.
Rambam,
say it again, please.
The Rambam, when he talks about anger, he said that's one midah you should never ever have.
That's exactly right. It's very interesting. It's the Rambam. You're exactly correct. It's Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Deos. There's actually two midos that the Rambam says you should be. Every midah he says you should be in the Shvil Zahav, the middle path, except for two midos, Gaiva and Kaas. Which proves that Gaiva and Kaas, which is what you were saying, are so closely related. They go hand in hand with each other. That's what I'm saying. Everything should be in the middle. There's room for every midah to be in the middle. Everything could be used for Avodas Hashem. Two midahs he talks about in depth, actually. It's very, very interesting. You should never have any of them. Gaiva and Kaas, which shows you which you were really trying to say. Gaiva and Kaas go together. It's the Gaiva that leads to Kaas, and it's the Kaas that leads to Gaiva. They go hand in hand. Moshe was a man of anivus, balakal kaas, balakal ta'us. If that was Moshe Rabbeinu, what should Michal Haaretz say? Okay. Secondhand information. The command lotisa shema shav from Mishpatim, Shmos Perchot Gimel, do not accept a false report, prohibits the acceptance of any negative statement concerning a person or a group of persons. So what we have to remember is it's not only that you're not allowed to speak and be the source of the negative information, you're not allowed to
listen,
accept it or to listen. accurate interpretation of a person's actions and or words demands thorough knowledge of the setting in which the action occurred and the events which erupted. So, you know, they say things are taken out of context. Out of context, that's exactly what often happens. To accurately interpret a person's actions or words, you have to thoroughly have knowledge of the setting in which the action occurred. You have to know the events which led up to it. You have to have an understanding of the person's mindset, manner of speech, and much sensitivity. Sometimes something is said that's solely neutral. If it's taken out of context or misinterpreted, it could be seen as negative when it wasn't even meant to be negative in the first place. Excuse me. This is obviously impossible unless one has witnessed the action and the accompanying remarks. Reliance on the sensitivity, objectivity, integrity, and wisdom of an alleged observer of an improper act is rejected by the Torah as foolish and wrong. I'll say it again. Reliance on the sensitivity. So you're relying on someone else's sensitivity, someone else's objectivity. It's hard enough for us to be objective. Never mind, I'm going to rely on someone else being objective. Integrity and wisdom of an alleged observer on an improper act is rejected by the Torah as foolish and wrong. Certainly, if the speaker is committing the sin of speaking Lashon Hara, his integrity is suspect. So in other words, he's speaking Lashon Hara, so you're supposed to believe his integrity when he's telling you something about somebody else. You're going to accept a report from a Mesaper Lashon Hara who says that he's right in the first place. He's transgressing. Certainly, if the speaker is committing the sin of speaking Lashon Hara, his integrity is suspect. One cannot accept his words as true and accurate. To prove this, we know by Torah law, only the testimony of two valid witnesses accepted by a Beis Din can be believed as fact. So let's say some guy comes in and he says he saw such and such doing so, he saw so and so doing such and such, and he's only one person. You can't believe him. So what does that prove to us? Beis Din cannot accept that testimony. I don't know any halachas of Beis Din, but they can't accept this testimony because you need at least two corroborate. Why? Because how hard is it for someone to be objective? And how hard is it to rely on the integrity of somebody else? And how hard is it for one person to be accurate, to reflect what they really saw? So take that down to our day. We're not going to base it. Hopefully nobody's going to base it. However, we shouldn't need. However, someone comes to you and tells you a report. So remember that the Torah law accepts only the report of two people. So who are you to believe them? And something very relevant, because so often people want to share Lashon Hara with us. What gives us right to accept the Lashon Hara? What gives us the right to speak it? What gives us the right to accept it? And we're over a lav. Lotisa Shem Hashav, we're actually over a lav. So it's a deraisa that we're not allowed to accept. Okay, one second. Okay. Have a wonderful day. Just 2 more minutes. The fact that a derogatory statement was made for a constructive purpose does not permit the listener to accept it as fact. It is permissible to listen to negative information for to'alas. However, it is not permissible to believe such information, which is very difficult. Because once you hear something, it's very hard to take it out of your mind and say, I'm not makabel, I don't believe it. One may act upon such information and the possibility that it might be true, but you still cannot believe it. It's very hard. And it's for this reason that the first precondition for speaking constructively is that one have first-hand knowledge of the negative information he's conveyed. We spoke about this a very long time ago, and Rabbi Weiss told us the same thing. It's not hearsay. You yourself know that it happened. Since one cannot believe derogatory information as fact, he cannot present it to others as such. If you're not allowed to accept it, how could you go paddle your ears? In situations where it is permissible to relate secondhand information, one is required to say he heard it from others. I cannot be sure of its accuracy. So we see that it's very difficult when you accept a report just because you think this person is the most trustworthy person you ever met. The Beis Din would not accept him because he's a yachid, then why should I accept what he's saying if he's a yachid? So instead of quickly jumping on the bandwagon and getting all excited, which leads to further aveiros and mistakes in our speech, remember to stay calm. Remember that not only can we speak a negative report, we cannot either accept a negative report. Any questions or comments?
And just most of the time, it's just entertainment anyway. It's nothing that even affects you. So like, why do you need to hear the report in the first place?
Well said. I'm going to repeat that in case people couldn't hear. Most of the time, it's just entertainment anyway. It's not even for to'alas because it's nothing that affects us. So sad. So, Bez Hashem, we should have an Elo. Remember, we're going to focus on the positive. Thank you, Hashem, for what I have accomplished, what I have been able to be successful, and daven for the future.